Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know that we all share one thing in common. Don't we all want to know the truth? The truth about what's really going on here in this crazy, chaotic, confusing world. So welcome to the 605th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And the title of this message today is 2023 Endgame Update Number 21, and our first on the new Rodecaster Pro 2 platform, and more on that later in the show. Plus, later in the show, folks, we're going to tie it all into the world's chaos and confusion and how it's being driven, in one element at least, by one of the most effective snares of the devil, and that is sex, S-E-X. That's right, folks. Now, we've covered this already, but today there's a twist to it. Because now these enemies of God are involving our children and grandchildren. Folks, I'm convinced that this occult sex magic, as it's called, is one of the devil's most useful tactics to ensnare humanity. And now through the LGBTQ movement, it's being directed on our innocent children and grandchildren, folks. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor the drunkards, nor the revilers, nor the extortioners." Boy, it almost sounds like our federal government, doesn't it, folks? "None of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. And as such were some of you," folks, we all were, "but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." So I hope you stay tuned to learn how we can shine the light of truth on these satanic pedophiles who are literally living in our midst, folks, and save our children. But the bottom line is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world, and we're just God's people. And what are we doing, folks? We're just passing through. So I hope you all refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity, and stay tuned to find out some of the latest news that the mainstream media will never tell you as we dive deeper and deeper into America's new 9/11 events, which are unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. But remember, folks, how did it all get started? It all got started with that lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. And as we do every week, folks, let's look at something from last week's episode. Now, last week, folks, we focused on this all-out war being waged on we the people by literally our own federal government. It's not a third-generation warfare, you know, a kinetic war like most of us are familiar with, where guns and bombs are being fired and dropped and, you know, tanks overrun the city. No, no. This is what's known as an unconventional fifth-generation war. Now, remember, the fifth-generation warfare that's conducted on a population is done primarily through non-kinetic, non-military action. You know, things like social engineering, misinformation, cyber attacks, all along with emerging technologies such as AI and robotics. And when you put that all together, you get these fully autonomous systems, and you're almost in something that's like a nightmare out of a Terminator movie. You know, fifth-generation warfare has been described by Daniel Abbott in his book titled The Handbook of Fifth-Generation Warfare as a war on information and perception. Now, in addition to this concept, last week we also looked into Keith Ryan's 11 ominous parallels, as I call them, 11 ominous parallels between the PSYOP known as 9/11, which, you know, folks, I was in this back then and even before, way back to Oklahoma City. And what Keith Ryan did is he linked the parallels of 9/11 and that PSYOP to the latest PSYOP known as COVID-19, this scamdemic. So let's have a re-listen. Well, before we have a re-listen to Richard Gage, who did a great summary of these 11 points, I'd like you to hear Keith Ryan in his own voice describe it. We're only going to listen to about 20 seconds of this one, folks.
We'll start by taking a look at some of the observations that many of us have made about 9/11 that others simply cannot observe for fear of where it may lead them. There are 11 common observations about 9/11 that I'd like to discuss. We'll go through those.
So that's Keith Ryan describing them in each of these 11 items. What Mr. Ryan does is he takes a comparison from 9/11 and he does it directly to what we've experienced recently through the scamdemic. Now, Richard Gage, he's the founder of the 9/11 Architects and Engineers for Truth. He's another patriot along with his wife. He's a freedom fighter. Mr. Gage did a very good job describing Keith Ryan's 11 ominous parallels in about 4 minutes. So I'd like to just re-listen to that with you so we can set the stage for the rest of the show.
Hi, everybody. I'm Richard Gage, AIA, member of the American Institute of Architects and founder and former CEO of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Our new organization, Richard Gage 9/11. I'm so excited to be speaking this year at the Red Pill Expo in Indianapolis. It is going to be an incredible event. I'll be speaking on the amazing parallels between 9/11 and the COVID pandemic. The last time I presented at the Red Pill Expo, I gave you the detailed evidence of the destruction of all three World Trade Center skyscrapers on 9/11. World Trade Center 7, the third tower that came down, wasn't hit by a plane. We talked about that in some detail. We'll review that, but we're going to go deeper into the rabbit hole today. We're going to be looking at the parallels between the 9/11 event and the COVID pandemic, and boy, will they blow your mind. Because in each case, we have foreknowledge of the event, months and years and hours, where it's very relevant in the case of the World Trade Center 7. And it's incredible because the foreknowledge of the COVID pandemic was forecast by Event 201 and other drills that were going on. We also have insider trading. That's evidence of foreknowledge in the case of 9/11 and in the case of those who benefited greatly as a result of the COVID pandemic. We have control of information and practices by top intelligence agencies and NGOs in each case. We're going to go into that in detail. We have false official accounts in each case. We're going to talk about the lies of NIST and the lies of the WHO, and which is the World Health Organization, of course, the CDC and others. We're going to be talking about how a climate of fear is created in both of these cases. Detail through the media propaganda, the government itself, that there's no real investigation in either case, 9/11 or COVID. There's a complete abuse of science itself. In the name of science, there's a response far more harmful than the original problem in each case. There's an elusive, powerful enemy. You can't quite get your hand on it. It's secret. Anybody could kill you. In the case of COVID, it could be your own family members. In the case of 9/11, there's a terrorist behind every in every community in a cell waiting to come and get you. Media and corporate censorship of the truth when it does come out. It's flatly censored, ignored. We're also going to be talking about the control of the narrative and how that narrative shifts depending on the circumstances. We'll be talking about the implementation of draconian policies in the wakes of these problems and surveillance that's unique in each case, 9/11 and COVID. We'll be talking about serious conflicts of interest, suspicious financial benefits for insiders. We'll be talking about the opportunities, things you can do to bring 9/11 to the fore, because 9/11 is not about the past. It's about the future. And guess what? If we don't learn our lessons, we'll have a future a lot worse than we're having right now with the COVID pandemic. So join me and all the other incredible speakers at the Red Pill Expo in Indianapolis. I'm looking forward to meeting you there.
So there you have it, folks. I think that was a very good synopsis of what Mr. Ryan put together. Thank you, Richard Gage. And then after we covered all of this last week, I told you about the Cloward-Priven strategy. And of course, we've covered Cloward-Priven several times in the past, just like we've done Deagle 2025. Now, just after the show, get this, folks, just after the show, I'm looking through my emails, and Greg Reese releases this fantastic piece on the Cloward-Priven strategy, the very thing that we were just talking about last week. So what I'd like to do right now, this is going to be a very good synopsis of everything these two liberal professors from Columbia back in the 60s planned to collapse the government. Again, through unconventional warfare, fifth generation warfare. So let's have a listen to Greg Reese's excellent piece titled The Cloward-Priven Strategy.
The Cloward-Priven Strategy was developed by Richard Cloward and Francis Piven in the 1960s. It outlines a strategy for radical social change by way of abusing the system to the point of destruction.
You know, we were associated with the social work tradition, which said that the programs worked as they were supposed to work. But they didn't work as they were supposed to work. And it was out of that realization, that insight, that we developed the strategy to end poverty, which called for a massive mobilization of social workers and lawyers and organizers to get people the benefits to which they were entitled. We were proposing a kind of movement that demanded what people were already entitled to by law, by regulation, by propaganda.
The primary goal of the Cloward-Piven strategy is to create a political and economic crisis that would destroy capitalism and lead to the implementation of a socialist system with a guaranteed income. The strategy involves enrolling large numbers of people into the welfare system, as many people as it takes to overwhelm and strain the system until it collapses. Everyone enrolled into the welfare system is also used as an army to carry out the destruction of the current system. They are registered to vote and instructed on how to vote. They are organized and mobilized and made to appear as grassroots organizations demanding more from the system. The ideal outcome of the Cloward-Piven strategy is to collapse the current system. According to their theory, this will compel the government to implement a universal basic income, which would then shift the U.S. towards a more socialist system with increased government control over the economy. Everyone is being encouraged to do it. Burn it down is the new sexy ring. In high school, they compare it to the American Revolution.
The Cloward-Piven strategy is a political gambit designed to overwhelm the American government by placing so many demands on the bureaucratic structure that it collapses. It's sort of a shock and awe campaign, a surprise attack on entrenched systems meant to force major changes to the ways that things are handled by the government. It may be messy, but it does harken back to a fundamental ideology of the American Republic. If it ain't fixed, break it.
All of this explains the likes of AOC.
What people like AOC are doing, what the school is doing, is really very important, very important. But at the same time, there is this movement which is so big. It's, some people say it's the biggest movement in American history. It's hard to know because it's hard to measure a movement. But it is big, and it is interracial, and it penetrates into every small town. I now am in upstate New York. The town I'm closest to has maybe 2,000 people. You know, we have little demonstrations in front of the post office for Black Lives Matter. And this is Trump country. Nevertheless, there is a Black Lives Matter demonstration. So it's a very potent and important moment in American political development. And we have to make the most of it, because if we don't, we don't know what's going to happen, but it's not going to be good.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Thank you, Greg Reese. I think that was one of the best summaries of the Cloward-Pippen strategy that I've ever heard. And what I like, folks, is that he actually had, it was either Cloward or Pippen, I forget who was what. They were a husband and wife team, like I said, from Columbia. That was the woman. I don't know if she was Cloward and he was Pippen or vice versa, but it doesn't really matter. The point is that you heard it right out of the originator's mouth, and then you heard what's happening in schools. That was a clip out of something from an educational summary. So I've heard a lot of detail on this, but that was the best summary I've ever heard. Now, other strategies are being used against we the people to wage the fifth generation warfare. Some very alarming things. And they're so subtle, yet so effective. For example, they've been degrading the actual effective wage of Americans. And I don't like using this minimum wage argument, but I'm talking about the effective wage of we the people over the last 30 years. I'm talking about wages and benefits. Think about what your health care plan used to be and what it is now. It's catastrophic health insurance, folks. Now, it's affecting a lot of people right now. We just don't have enough money to make ends meet. And that's a war. That's deliberate, folks. And it's so apparent when you dig just a little bit below the surface. Plus, they've corrupted labor unions. Organized crime helped with that. Now, at the onset, labor unions were excellent because they maintained wage and benefit standards. Yet only 10% of the workers today have a labor union, and they're so corrupt to begin with. Who even wants them anymore? Plus, we have this underfunding of social service agencies. And this is being literally done by all of the intelligence agencies, the CIA, the NSA. Folks, I don't know if you know a lot of this. We could do a show on each one of these. This makes these social service agencies unaccountable to the taxpayers in any way, because it's all part of this deep state bureaucracy. Did you even hear about this thing called the Federal Accounting Standards Advisory Board? Well, they have a ruling out named FASB. I'll try to say that fast three times, folks. FASAB 56. And what it does is it removes domestic federal agencies from all external oversight by Congress in the classification of their budgets. And a little bit more on budget later in the show, okay, in Yellow Brick Road. Plus, we have these deep state hacks now serving the elite as they destroy the integrity and the basic functioning of these offices under the Inspector General. Now, the Inspector General used to have an incredible amount of power for oversight concerning the budget, and that's all gone now. And this really started to pick up speed under President George. So by today, these agencies have no oversight. They're run amok, and they need to be stopped. They're overwhelmed, and if not overwhelmed, unresponsive, and they've become meaningless, folks, in the lives of we the people. And there's also a very subtle and purposeful conversion of what the congressional staff is all about. Like each congressperson has a staff. They've become just caseworkers. In fact, the Heritage Foundation first identified this way back in the 90s, but they never really did anything about it. And guess what? That once great conservative think tank, it's also compromised, folks. So today we have these congressional staffers who have no idea how important they actually are, because I'm referring to the legislative process. We have, they're being pandered to now by special interest groups and lobbyists, but they were supposed to be there to hear the voice of the people. That's how it was supposed to work, but it's not. And there's so many more subtle yet intentional actions being taken by the elite through their deep state actors, the government. But the bottom line has been to poison and mind control and impoverish the working class all along. And I'm not just talking about the laborer who's clocking in and clocking out. I'm talking about all of us, from the professionals down to the minimum wage worker at the local gas station. All of us, we the people. The sweat of our brow has been used by the deep state elite folks for one thing and one thing alone, to plan their global plantation to enslave us all. And what they're doing now is they're increasing the demographic size and spreading them across the entire country. And I'm referring to the open border and the flood of these desperate immigrants. Don't blame them, folks. They're part of this manipulation too. And what's going to happen is the system's going to collapse. And we're all, well, not all, but those of us who don't understand, we're going to beg for the basic universal income. We're going to beg to be tagged. We're going to comply with the social credit score. And we're going to be so happy that we don't own anything because we don't have to worry anymore. Mommy and daddy will take care of us. Folks, I'm convinced that another element to all of this is this occult sex magic. And it's now being used against our children. And like I said in the opening, our grandchildren. And this is being deployed by the elite in their war and their crimes against all humanity. But more on that in the Back to the Future segment, folks. Right now, we've got to get started with Sister Kathy's and Brother Alex's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as we do every week, folks, let's get started with our coronavirus heist update.
The coronavirus, COVID-19, bottle, pandemic, the coronavirus, it's a scandemic, they call it the great equalizer, and they were all in this together, except for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be, and folks, that ain't either you or me, so let's all wake up to the coronavirus ice and just say they know that all their lives are fighting good. The coronavirus.
That's what we've got to do, folks. We've just got to say no. And if we're not saying no, then we are submitting by nothing but our inaction. I don't know if you heard, but the medical freedom community and the alt media in general is mourning the loss of Dr. Rashid Buttar. Now, you've probably heard this, but I wanted to mention it because we just listened to a clip from Dr. Buttar in the Payload documentary from 2 weeks ago. Now, he's a respected doctor, well-known because of his anti-establishment views on the entire COVID-19 scamdemic and that bioweapon death jab falsely labeled a COVID vaccine. Folks, it's neither a vaccine nor is it effective against its intended target, unless its intended target was we the people. But I don't want to digress. So Dr. Buttar, along with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I think the best Democratic presidential candidate out there right now, they were both named as two of the disinformation dozen by the far-left media, and I think that included other people like Mike Adams. Now, Dr. Buttar was only 57 years old, healthy, a licensed physician, a retired major in the U.S. Army, Special Forces, folks. You know, a Special Forces veteran typically is a very fit individual, and they tend to keep up their health. It's just part of their nature. It's what got him through that process. He died suddenly and unexpectedly last Thursday at his home. It's very sad because just a few days before, he was on the Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson show. Now, she was the former co-host of the 700 Club in Canada, and he was discussing the coronavirus agenda, the real story behind the origin of COVID-19. And I want you to listen to what he told her on the show. So this is Dr. Buttar speaking with Laura Lynn Tyler. Just have a listen to this, folks. It's very appalling.
You know, I went through a very difficult personal health challenge a few months. I was in the ICU. I had been poisoned with the 200 times the amount of what's in the vaccinations. And I've said publicly, you know, you'd have to shoot me in the head with lead i.e. a bullet, because I'm never going to take the vaccine. So I was actually intentionally poisoned. And part of it was, I believe, right before that CEO, right after that CNN interview. But regardless of what happened, the message I want people to know is remember the importance of exercising free will. And then also as a default, as a backup, slow down and remember that God is in control.
Amen, folks. God is in control. So may God rest Dr. Buttar in his eternal presence. We'll see you again soon, Dr. Buttar. I know you are a believer, and I just praise the Lord that we had the benefit of all your wisdom. Folks, that's exactly what happened to me back in early 2022. I was poisoned by a spike protein bioweapon that produced SARS, or severe acute respiratory syndrome. And it's through this spike protein. So when I tested positive for COVID-19. But I'm telling you, folks, right before I got sick, there was very heavy spraying over Katanning, extremely heavy spraying, aerosol spraying, and we've covered that in the shows in the past. So I'm telling you, these Satanists, they're not only not giving up on this element of their unconventional warfare, this element being a scamdemic, they're planning another one. And this time, the World Health Organization is going to be in charge of all emergency policy if these deep state actors get their way. So in this next clip, we have Michelle Bachmann telling Steve Bannon on the War Room what's really going on with this World Health Organization treaty. So let's have a listen. We're going to listen to a portion of this. I'm not going to go through the whole clip. You can catch that over on Rumble if you're interested. But let's just have a listen to a bit of this with Michelle Bachmann talking with Steve Bannon concerning this World Health Organization treaty, which is another element in this diabolical plan to enslave the remaining humanity on this global slave plantation. Michelle Bachmann.
Have a digital health certificate acknowledged by WHO if you have been vaccinated or tested properly, then you can move around. So for the next pandemic, instead of stopping the movement of the people 100%, which clogged the economy globally, you know, you can still provide some movement of the people. Indonesia has achieved, G20 country has agreed to have this digital certificate using WHO standard, and we will submit into the next World Health Assembly in Geneva as the revision to international health regulation. So hopefully for the next pandemic, we can still see some movement of the people, some movement of the goods, and movement of the economy.
Okay, we have Dean Michelle Bachmann from Regent University, formerly Congressman Bachmann from Minnesota, presidential candidate, a leader of the Tea Party movement. So Dean, you brought this to our attention last year. When we had, WHO, and you had the World Health Assembly, you had these things, and we had people monitoring 24 hours. It was James Rutkowski out in California, and you were leading efforts to have people have public comments, all that. Where are we today? Because now you're leading this effort to make sure that the audience, that we pile into this sovereignty issue on WHO. Explain exactly where we and what the War Room Posse needs to do.
So for the War Room Posse, we've got to do what we did last year. And we're exactly where we were last year. We had a one-year reprieve, thank God, thanks to a few little small African countries like Botswana, who resisted at the meeting in the last week of May in Geneva, Switzerland in 2022. Otherwise, we already would have created this platform for global governance for the WHO. That didn't happen because essentially what this is, Steve, the Biden administration is trying to push all 194 nations to give up their sovereignty on healthcare, which is really just give up your sovereignty to the World Health Organization. Then as we've been under emergency powers for 3 years in the United States, it was just finally lifted. Joe Biden signed that. Now Joe Biden wants us to give up the right to declare an emergency to the World Health Organization. And so this clip that you just played was the Indonesian foreign minister saying in Bali last November that the G20, the B20, they've all gotten together. They've all agreed that we're going to offer amendments at the World Health Assembly in Geneva, Switzerland, that would change the World Health Organization from an advisory body to actually a regulatory body with authority. And they would be able to do to the United States and any country on earth what Dr. Fauci did to us, what the CDC did to us, because Fauci and the CDC relied on the recommendations from the WHO. So now the WHO would have the power to mandate vaccines and mandate lockdowns and all the rest.
Let's not bury the lead. This is the same WHO on the day that we shifted, on the week that we shifted the show from War Room Impeachment to War Room Pandemic. The WHO, I think it was on the 15th of January of 2020, came out and said, hey, they checked all the information. There was no, with the, and they had talked to the Chinese senior CCP health officials. WHO put out a tweet saying there's no human-to-human transmission, and this is not spreading anywhere in Wuhan. They came out and actually said no human-to-human transmission. This is they are owned lock, stock, and barrel in Geneva by the CCP. Ambassador Brembo
vouched
that when I met with him. They're owned 100%. So here's what I don't get. How? And by the way, the G20, and you're very – the G20 meets on the economic side, but they've spun off a group called the B20 that Klaus Schwab helped, which is kind of the biopharmaceutical,
the corporate
same
side.
Group.
What? Are you serious? Are you serious? Can I have some more coffee?
That's right, Paul. I am very serious. In fact, let me grab my cup of coffee and let's hear how this microphone handles that. I don't know how good that came out, folks, but part of this today, in addition to giving you information, is testing out this new sound system. So I'm telling you, plain and simple, we've got to stop this. We must stop this. So the G20 spins off the B20, which then gets all of the big pharma and all the big business in cahoots with them to enslave us globally. They are literally forging the chains, the electronic chains that will enslave us, folks. We have to stop it. Must not happen. So get the word out, folks. Get the word out to your friends and family. Share these podcasts on social media. We're going to be working, and I'll fill you in. Henrietta wants me to give you an update. So in that segment, we're going to give you an update on what our future plans are and what we hope to do here. So now that the sound's better, I'm praying that the sound's better, I'm hoping we can get the word out to more people. And one thing you can do is melt down your representative's phone lines, folks. We've got to get the word out, and we've got to get the U.S. out of these evil NGOs. You know, organizations like the United Nations, non-governmental organizations, these are not elected by the people. And the WHO and so many others, folks, they're NGOs. And right now, this health quote-unquote treaty that the WHO's trying to use a back door to get into our country is for nothing but to enslave we the people. That's what it's all about. And the evil Beijing or Biden regime, they're in on it too, folks. You can check this out over at the sovereigntycoalition.org. Sovereigntycoalition, one word, .org. Go there, folks, and you can sign the American Sovereignty Declaration, and then it'll send a letter to your congressperson asking them to exit the U.S. from the WHO, just like President Trump did and then Biden reversed. So they make it very simple for you and me, folks. Just take action. Go over to sovereigntycoalition.org and just sign in while we still have the freedom to do it. But right now, folks, we have to keep moving. And right now, it's time for our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police report, the 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater. We got a new cop means assault. Boo means dance. He means steal from the verb. Kabuki means to slam or display. Folks, it's all a lot. It's a flattened curve. The curve of your car is stupid. Must slow down the velocity of money. Total hyperinflation. What would it done? Staying it off. Trump bad. Must go good at bad. Bad is good. Up and down. Light and dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030. And the new world will just say no to it all. And wake up before it's too late.
And one element of this Kabuki theater, of course, are the stolen elections. past tense, folks. I don't know if you heard, but Carrie Lake's closing argument was a bombshell. Her attorney did such a fantastic job. He proved there in court that 70,000 votes were not verified and that this election must be set aside because what was it won by? And this was just one little snippet of the corruption, folks. It was ironclad proven in that court case. And Frank Media has this excellent 90-second video synopsis on this. And as you all know, that judge ruled against it. So I wasn't stunned that she didn't actually get a fair hearing. You know, as you know, this judge ruled against her, even though that evidence was screaming fraud. I mean, those ballot verifiers, signature verifiers, were spending less than a second per ballot to verify the signature on record to the signature on the ballot. Folks, that's physically impossible. And that was proven in the courtroom with 70,000 ballots. Yet this judge, if you watch that video, you can see that judge wasn't even paying attention. And why was that? Because he already had his mind made up. Even though Carrie's attorney was extremely effective in presenting this evidence. Check that video out, folks. It's over on Frank News. It's very well worth the watch. I'm telling you, this needs to go all the way up to the Supreme Court of the United States of America, but we know it won't. They won't take it. Folks, they've been stealing elections, and we've talked about this on this show for 10 years. They've been stealing elections for decades, if not longer, both the left and the right. They're both in on it, the Uniparty. That's why there's no effective action being taken legislatively, judicially, or executive-wise in any of the 50 states or in the swamp known as Washington. Folks, this is all part of it. So 2020 and 2022 weren't the first. They're just the most evident, the most in your faces. Plus now there's new compelling evidence out that it's also going to happen again in 2024. This next clip features KT McFarland. She's the former Deputy National Security Advisor. And what does she say? Well, she's on an interview with Fox Sunday Morning. Just forgot her name, folks. Forgive me for that. I don't think I have it in my notes here. No, I don't. But Kate McFarland, the former Deputy National Security Advisor, talks about how the FBI, the DOJ, and the CIA will rig the election in 2024. So have a listen to KT McFarland tell it all on Fox News.
We now have black and white evidence that the FBI interfered in the 2016 election. And then when they failed to get their candidate elected, Hillary Clinton, then they set out to destroy the Trump administration. So then go back, go up to 2020. It was the CIA this time that got involved in the 2020 election with those 51 former intel agents who talked about the Hunter Biden laptop as total Russian disinformation. Mm-hmm. So they've gotten away with it for two elections. They're for sure going to get away with it, try to get away with it in 24, right? Because there's no consequence. The difference is in 2024, the evidence is there. We now have the Durham investigation. We have all the congressional investigations. There is now hard evidence that there was election interference by the U.S. intelligence agencies and the Department of Justice. They've got to be terrified. Those individuals have to be terrified that a Republican president comes in the 2024 election with a Republican attorney general, investigates them and charges them all with the crimes they've committed over the last 8 years.
Well, we'll see about that. You're right. There are questions around these elections because of this interference. Do you think there will be election interference then in 24?
Take it to the bank. They will absolutely interfere in 2024. We're not sure how, but they will absolutely interfere, not only because they're not going to like whoever the Republican candidate is, but because they're going to protect their own hides. That's why they were talking to their own people, and the whistleblowers have brought this up, that they were told, don't put anything on paper, just tell us orally. They knew that they were doing stuff wrong. They knew that they were going to be liable for prosecution.
Yeah, it's too bad. I wish the media were more curious about all of this. Unfortunately, the media takes the narrative of the Democrat Party and runs with it, and then has to cancel anybody who's not on board.
Well, they're in the same position. They can't possibly admit they were wrong, because that sort of undercuts their whole reason for being. So they're going to continue to have the fake narrative, and they're going to continue to cover up and pretend that nothing bad went on. I mean, they're all in it together. This is what the terrible thing is. These people are selling the country. They're just selling us out, not only to foreign leaders, but they're interfering in our elections. They're tearing up the Constitution. Why? Because they want to protect their jobs. They want to protect their ratings. It just is. I never thought I would be this upset about how anybody in the government was performing, but this is just a gut punch to the American people.
It really is, and it's because you're a patriot. You don't want to see this kind of injustice. I agree with you. KT, it's good to see you. Thank you.
She spoke a lot of truth, folks, but she did not speak all the truth. I'm sure KT McFarland knows that this is all part of a deep occult plan to enslave humanity, yet she stopped short. I don't know if you noticed that. This is a political issue. No, it's much deeper than politics, folks. This is an occult plan way back from the time that Cain killed Abel. That's how far back this goes, folks. And you can trace it all through The Curse of the Canaanites, an excellent book that you need to read if you haven't read it already. It's by Eustace Mullins. An excellent book. A lot of people talk about his books, but I hear very few people talk about Eustace Mullins' book, The Curse of the Canaanites. Check it out. If you can't find a copy, email me at kdbeard1961@gmail.com, and I'll get you a PDF copy. It's now free, and it's available because the copyright's expired, so I encourage you. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, what Kate McFarland said just is speculation. It's not true. Well, I don't know about that. Just this last Sunday, Kevin Nunes was again on Fox, and he pointed out that Obama's efforts during his presidency to spread this horrible lie about then-President Trump, after he was elected, is all documented. It's all there, and it's released in the special final report from Durham. Not directly, but implied. And we'll get that into some of that a little bit later in the message. So let's have a listen to Kevin Nunes on Sunday Fox accusing Obama of being implicated, or I should say implicating Obama in Russiagate. Folks, this stuff is really sick. And you know what's sad about it? You can't make it up.
So this was an election year. You've got one campaign paying for dirt on another campaign, and you've got the amazing intelligence agencies of our government weaponized. So that's what has taken place here. You're saying you knew nothing about it? You were President Obama's right hand. And a lot of people wonder how much President Obama directed this. So I ask you, did President Obama direct any of this?
That's not how it works. That's not how our investigations work. But we leave that to the intelligence community to bring forward information.
That was former President Obama advisor Valerie Jarrett with me back in 2020 when I pressed her about what President Obama knew about the Trump-Russia probe, which according to Special Counsel John Durham was seriously flawed, and there was no basis or evidence to launch such an investigation. Something my next guest, Devin Nunes, told us back in February of 2018, 5 years ago, he broke that news here on this program, that the entire Trump-Russia collusion pushed by Democrats, the DOJ, the FBI, and the mainstream media was a made-up story. Now we are learning from the Durham report that the FBI appeared to have made no effort at all in investigating Bill and Hillary Clinton over claims that individuals in foreign countries were attempting to buy influence through donations to the Clinton Foundation and Hillary's 2016 presidential campaign. Join me right now with Reaction is the Truth Teller. This bombshell is going to be here, our topic, for former House Intelligence Committee Chairman, current Trump Media CEO, Devin Nunes. Devin, great to see you. Thanks very much for being here.
Great to be with you, Maria.
Your assessment of the Durham report.
I think overall, this is a really sad day for America because what it represents is the total collapse of the justice system. A lot of people see this as, oh, FBI, intelligence agencies. No, no, no. This represents the entire collapse of the justice system. And it really, the Durham report reads like the tombstone for the justice system. And it would say something simple, like, here lies the justice system, the Justice Department, and we knew there was criminality and we couldn't do anything about it. That's really what the Durham report says. There's a lot of great information in there, but nothing's been done.
Well, why? I mean, why is there no accountability after all of these years? You knew it from day one. You came out with the Nunes report back in 2018 and walked us through how this was a made-up story from the Clinton campaign. And yet, look at where they are now. All of these people who were complicit in pushing this lie, whether it's Peter Strzok, John Brennan, James Comey, they've got big jobs at universities, and they're writing books, and they're on MSNBC and CNN as national security experts.
Yeah, so the way you have to look at this, it's even bigger than that and all of those bad, evil characters. What this is really about, it's about the Justice Department collapsing. It's also about the judicial branch of government collapsing and the fake news media collapsing. Now, look, Maria, a lot of this we talked about on your show for the last 6 years. Your viewers understand that. But I think you have to take a global view of what the repercussions really are here. Because, you know, the judicial branch, I just mentioned the justice system, how that completely broke down. I mean, they knew about it, couldn't do anything about it. But how about the judges? Let's just take, there's three easy examples with the judges. You had the FISA court. They did absolutely nothing. The FISA court could have stepped in. They knew right away when I knew. They knew in 2017. And then for sure they knew in 18 when we notified them. Did they do anything? No, they covered it up. You also had the activity of federal judges as it related to General Flynn. Then fast forward, and you got the Mar-a-Lago raid where you have a judge sign a FISA warrant or a search warrant.
Yeah. Great point. Let's take a short break and continue. I'm with former House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes. We'll be right back. Welcome back, and I am back with former House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes, CEO of Trump Media. Devin, you were just going through the impact of what took place in 2016 and 17 with the Trump-Russia investigation and the collusion lie. Your thoughts on the fact that the FBI also completely ignored any claims that Hillary Clinton was accepting money and influence peddling the way Joe Biden has been doing as well. So not only did they pursue these FISA warrants against Trump officials, they were ignoring anything regarding Hillary Clinton, right?
Exactly. And that's why most Americans are saying, how can this happen? How can this happen in the United States of America? Now, as you know, I spent a lot of time abroad. I made a lot of friends overseas. And I have gotten so many calls after this Durham report from people who are saying, what in the hell is going on in the United States? How can you guys have a justice system like this? I think a lot of people were shocked. A lot of them knew me. A lot of them knew that I was telling the truth. But when you see Durham go through this exhaustive three-year process and actually come forth with all of this information, that in any normal world, there were so many crimes committed here. And remember, don't forget that you had Obama. You asked me, what did Obama know about this? Well, this was a stunt by the Hillary Clinton campaign in 16. It failed miserably because Donald Trump won overwhelmingly.
Right.
Then what happened? Obama was directly involved because he's the one that went back right after the election in 2016. He got all the intelligence agencies involved, and they leaked out to the fake news media that, oh, the Russians must have done something and they were trying to help Trump. Obama did that, but Obama knew. We now know from Durham, Obama knew and his team knew in August of 16 that this was a dirty trick by the Hillary Clinton campaign.
Unbelievable.
So
yeah.
I think the question is, you know, where do we go from here? That's the real question.
Yeah.
Right?
Where
I mean,
do we go?
One
yeah.
thing we at least have is our voice, and that's what we can do to spread that word. But I think the Congress is going to have to dive deep into this.
Yes, for sure. All right. And Devin Nunes, great to see you. Thanks very much for being a truth teller.
Yes, Devin is a truth teller. But again, he doesn't go all the way. He thinks Congress should dive into it. Folks, they're part of the deep state. They're part of the problem. What is the solution to this? Well, I'll tell you where the problem's coming from. It's coming from the swamp. And what's the solution? Well, I'm not sure. I do know that God is sovereign, though, folks. And I do know that we can stand on the righteousness of Christ. So that's a good place to start. I'll comment a bit more on it later in the show. But right now, folks, it's time for our new segment known as Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. You have to see the river. a wonderful living above. You'll find the end of the list, the better a list for love. If ever a winner a winner wants to live in a band, we won because of the wonderful things he does. You ought to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz.
Now, remember, folks, I say this every week, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And I say that because that's the truth in God's word. And if you want to find out what's behind the curtain, just follow the Yellow Brick Road, which is the money trail. Did you hear this, folks? The U.S. Treasury is asking about later payments as we near the debt ceiling. Oh, wow. The crisis, the Kabuki theater. This is out of the Washington Post. So these negotiations have stalled, and I think you know that. McCarthy, the rhino, is left Washington, as did Biden and his team, or his perps, and we don't have a debt ceiling increase. So this is all happening right now, folks. And they're left. They left the swamp for Memorial Day. I've been saying all along this is planned, folks. And think about how it's changed. The U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 9, Clause 7 states, no money shall be drawn from the Treasury, but in consequence of appropriations made by law and a regular statement and account of receipts and expenditures of all public money shall be published from time to time. Now, folks, when I was growing up, Congress always debated the budget presented to them by the executive, also known as the president. And every year we had news about the budget debate. You know, it happened after the president submitted his budget. When's the last time we did this? Well, this was all by the Budget and Accounting Act of 1921. Now, the current law is 31 U.S.C. 1105A, and it requires the president to submit a budget no earlier than the first Monday in January and no later than the first Monday in February. So somewhere in that first month of the year. And typically, presidents would submit the budget on the first Monday in February. But what I've noticed over the last 15 and 20 years, and this still happens, folks, but the debate has shifted from the actual budget to the debt ceiling. And that's because they have all these add-ons. They have all this pork, and it's all part of this plan to destroy the country. I don't know. I'm just saying it's all part of the death spiral of this funny money system. It really is. And then to add insult to injury, we have Fetterman showing up in a hoodie and shorts at a Senate Finance Committee press conference concerning this. And you have him looking like a slob in a hoodie before national cameras, speaking as a senator of the U.S. Congress, pushing for the 14th Amendment to be evoked in this craziness. You can't make this stuff up, folks. You really can't make it up. So I'd like you to listen to Fetterman mumble in his hoodie and shorts before a national news conference. I mean, this had all of the networks, international networks, and we have Fetterman up there in a hoodie mumbling some nonsense about the 14th Amendment, and then he even gets something in there about SNAP, I think it was. Just have a listen.
Reason we're here for one simple reason. President Biden needs to consider using the 14th Amendment if necessary. The entire GOP debt ceiling negotiation is a sad charade. And that's exactly what's wrong in Washington. We're playing with the livelihoods of millions just so the GOP can just turn the screws against the hungry Americans. This is the whole reason why the 14th Amendment exists. We need to be prepared to be using it. Again, remember, say that again. We must be prepared to in order to use it. And we cannot let reckless Republicans hold the economy as a hostage. And an unelected Supreme Court justice will try to blow up our economy. That's on them if they have to judge on that. So, thank you.
Remember to say that again, folks. He wasn't supposed to read that part. He was up there mumbling and bumbling. Remember to say that again. And then I hear a lot of people bashing us in Pennsylvania, as some people call it, Pennsylvania. I'm telling you, in 2020, we had our votes stolen, folks. We had a corrupt criminal governor, Tom Wolf, and a then corrupt criminal attorney general, Josh Shapiro, who's now our corrupt governor. Just go along to get along, subverting all the voting laws we had in our country. We had 700,000 more mail-in ballots sent out in 2020. I should say collected. Then we had registered voters. And then there was this tractor trailer load of 244,000 ballots brought in from New York State. We had a signed affidavit from that truck driver, and no one in federal or state law enforcement would even look into his claims that he just drove these down from New York. The then Governor Wolf, who everybody in this state really dislikes, and the criminal Shapiro, who said Trump will not take Pennsylvania after all the ballots are counted. Not all the votes, all the ballots. He was in on this. They did things that they had zero power to do. They subverted the law, folks. And that continued in 2022, when we should have seen a red wave. It's just a statistical known fact after the incumbent president has two years in office, and it didn't happen. So we have Fetterman. We have this nut job over in Arizona, Katie Hobbs. We have all these other clowns presenting themselves as representatives of we the people, Fetterman. I love how David Icke refers to all of them as morons. Let's have a re-listen.
Biden. I mean, the man is suffering from dementia. End of frickin' story. Everyone can see it. Elephant in the living room. You look at this guy who imposed fascism on Victoria, Australia, Daniel Andrews. Moron. Then you have people like Macron. You have the moron of morons in Canada, Trudeau. There was a woman called Kerry Chant in New South Wales, I think it was, who was there. Chief medical officer. Chief medical officer, you wouldn't let her diagnose acne. Moron. Why do they put so many morons in positions of power? Because if they can get you to see, because it's bloody obvious, that a moron is telling you to do something, and you still do it knowing they're moronic, they got your self-respect.
Well said, David Icke. Whatever you may think of him, he said it well there, folks. And then to add insult to injury, the fake news releases this. Senator John Fetterman used to walk the halls of Senate stone-faced and in formal suits. Now he's more relaxed in hoodies and gym shorts. People close to Fetterman say it's a sign of progress after 6 weeks of inpatient treatment for depression. That was out from the Associated Press on May 21st. 2023, folks. Yet during that press conference, he read the note on the side that he shouldn't have read that said, remember to say that again. You heard that, folks. Remember to say that again. And he reads it just like Biden does. This is sad. It's really sad. And then don't even get me started on the 14th Amendment. J.D. Rucker had a great commentary on what the 14th Amendment really means. You know, it was adopted to secure citizenship for all natural-born Americans, including former slaves. Now, they're taking a section out of that amendment and proposing it as an end-around the law to circumvent this debt ceiling issue that should be addressed by Congress. They're going to try to let the tyrant, the imposter-in-chief, Brandon, make this decision. Folks, we have lost our republic. So this is an end game, and it's wrong. I'd suggest you go over and check out J.D. Rucker. Very good commentary. We don't have time to cover it today. And then Donald Trump comes out with this tweet or truther. I don't know which it was. Republicans should not make a deal on the debt ceiling unless they get everything they want, including the kitchen sink. little reference to Elon Musk, I guess, when he took over Twitter. That's the way the Democrats have always dealt with us. Do not fooled. And then the Federal Reserve comes out with this from Chairman Powell. He's indicating last Friday, not yesterday, a week ago, that the Federal Reserve will likely forego another increase. Well, they're in a quandary. You know, they're going to actually lose the dollar or lose the economy. If they continue with these rate increases, they're going to lose the economy, folks. And if they don't, if they stop them, the dollar is going to be destroyed. Either way, we the people lose, folks, and that's the point. I'm telling you, it's all smoke and mirrors, kabuki theater. And it's what used to be called fraud or white-collar crime. You know, it's all these too-big-to-fail banks. Think about what they did to the mortgage bundling and the derivative scam. And then all the TARP monies that were used to cover their scandals. And now the World Economic Forum's talking about the Great Reset under the guise of this new and yet-to-be-released scamdemic that we talked about earlier in the show. And then the Plandemic Treaty to control us all. You see how it's all fitting together? So it's going to be more the media-manipulated, lab-engineered, whatever-viced virus heist, you know? The bottom line is the economic crisis isn't over yet. In fact, it's just getting started, folks. He who controls the money controls the people. I think it was a Rothschild that said that. You know, don't give me reins to the government. Give me the keys to your coffers. And that's what's happening here, folks. Now, that 2008 economic event that's affectionately called the Great Recession now was just the early winds of a huge storm that's going to hit us on a global economic level. And right now, as we speak, there are people saying no. The BRIC nations, being led by China and Russia right now, are working to establish a new petro-based global economic system that's founded on gold. And what are all the big banks doing right now? They're buying up gold, folks. Now, if they succeed, they're going to collapse the U.S. dollar. And that's what the neocons, the Uniparty, and everyone else in the deep state working for the Luciferian elite really want. That's why they're pushing for World War III, folks. And guess what? The federal government itself, which is a corporation, we've covered that, they're in on it too, along with their private bank known as the Federal Reserve. And then don't even get me started on the plunge protection team, okay? They artificially prop up the stock market while suppressing commodities like gold and silver to create this illusion of wealth and prosperity as they drain the true wealth of the nation. I've said time and time again on this show, folks, this is the greatest transfer of wealth in the history of the world. Now, if we use the standards under the Clinton administration, pre-COVID-19 unemployment would be nearly 23% and inflation would be nearly at 5%. That's before the scamdemic, folks. I'm telling you, fiat money's a fraud. I'm looking right now, and I agree with Mike Adams. I think the actual inflation rate's about 2% per month or about 24% per year. So every year that you keep a dollar in the bank, you lose a quarter. Next year, that 75 cents is worth 0.75 times 0.75. And the year after, you take the product of that, and I can't do that in the top of my head very fast. I forget what it is. It's somewhere around 60. Then you multiply that by 0.75, and you have this gradual theft. As your money does nothing but sit in the bank and earn 1%, and now it can be used as bail-in money. You see where this is all going, folks? We used to have a tangible private money. It was called gold and silver, and it was used to fund public debt. And this kept our government in check. And then in 1913, the Federal Reserve Act, which switched us to public money, Federal Reserve notes, and private debt, yes, they used actuarial calculations through the Social Security system to figure out how much labor they could extract from each living, breathing soul. Isn't that what we were told by John in Revelation 18? They even dealt in the souls of men. You know, this fraud gave the bankers control and the politicians unrestrained spending. And that, folks, is corrupt. That's evil, and God despises it. Yet, I'm telling you, few people in this world understand this form of fraud. But it's still fraud. And if left unchecked, it's going to bring down this once great nation. You can go over to Shadow Stats and confirm everything I just told you. And just remember, folks. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. And that's exactly what this system does to we the people through this fiat money, funny money system, and the Wall Street magic, sleight of hand they do with derivatives and this plunge protection team. You know, derivatives are so dangerous. They're this compounding of gains. But on the other side of the coin, you have compounding of losses. There's a list out there. If you can't find it, just go to bank derivatives list, and it lists every bank in the country and how much exposure they have to derivatives. I checked out my local supposedly very stable bank. It's known as Dollar Bank. Very, very stable. They have close to $500 billion exposure in derivatives. That's orders of magnitude more than their deposits, folks. This is a house of cards ready to collapse. And don't even get me started on legalized gaming, as they call it, or gambling. Maybe I'll talk about that later. But we have to keep moving. And right now, it's time for Coop Talk with Henrietta. Hey, Henrietta. What's that? Yeah? Okay. Yeah, we'll give him an update. So she wants me to give you an update on this system. And if I could get some feedback from the listeners, please let me know if the audio quality is good. But I'll give you a quick synopsis of what we've done so far and what's still coming. And when I say we, I mean me and Hope, our standard poodle. And Terry's been giving me some help. And I do get a little bit of feedback from a couple of you in terms of different things. But right now, we had to start this a few months ago with our new internet, because our internet was DSL, very poor, Windstream. Sometimes we had upload speeds of like a fraction of a megabyte per second, sometimes 0.3 megabytes per second. You just cannot do voice over internet at that low level. So I think it was back in February we got a T-Mobile 5G system. And the check this morning, I had 288 megabytes per second upload speeds. And we're still, I'm not real happy. I'm doing some tuning on the system, but we're getting about 10.6 to 11 megabits per second upload speeds. That's adequate for voice over internet, but I'd like to do better. And then just last week after the show, we received our Rodecaster Pro 2 studio and a studio mic, the legendary Shure SM7B. I think it's called a condensing microphone. And we're going to also test out a few other microphones. I did a few tests this week, and I apologize for any of the messages you were getting. I then migrated over to the private testing, but I couldn't call in on my phone to check audio quality. So I apologize for those emails you got this week, folks, but it's all in an effort to make this platform even better. And then what our plan is to eventually migrate off of Blog Talk Radio, which is both expensive and inadequate. So what I do is I always have a lapse when I'm using their soundboard, but I have on this Rodecaster Pro, I have 8 touchpads with 8 selections, or a total of 64 clips that I can play. And then, and I'm working on this, it'll be the last part of our audio podcast. I have a Stream Deck XL. This is a, I believe it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 by 4, 32 key Stream Deck with infinite commands and instructions. So it won't only do the 64 commands that the Podcaster Pro can do, the Rodecaster Pro can do, Pro 2. It'll also be able to do camera moves and all the other things that we hope to accomplish here as we migrate to another platform. We're looking at Rumble and Brighteon and a few others. And eventually I'd like to take this to a video or a vlog. So please pray for us, folks. Those are our plans moving forward. And I'm doing this, like I say, at the beginning of every show, solely for the glory of God. We've got to keep moving, and right now it's time for our Outer Limits segment.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image. make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
And folks, I thought this next piece fit perfectly in this segment, The Outer Limits. Now, I mentioned that this entire Russiagate scandal was an atrocity much bigger, like Mr. Noon said, than just Russiagate. It's an actual corruption of our whole justice system. And it's amazing how many times this happens. But I'll be thinking about content for the show, and then I'll hear Mike Adams say something, or I'll hear J.D. Rucker say something, or even Paul Craig Roberts. And I was thinking of how I was going to put this together in some of my commentary. And then Sunday, in my email, I get this 700-word commentary from Paul Craig Roberts. And what he does is he talks about his thoughts concerning this Russiagate report from John Durham. And first, he praises it. And then he criticizes it. And then he has some hopeful plans for the future. That's called a compliment sandwich, as my pastor Todd always says. So you start with something good, you get into the issue at hand, and then you finish with something good or hopeful. So he refers to it, as I would too, as a very powerful expose of the corruption that occurred with this Russiagate report. The thing that happens is that he names former acting director Andrew McCabe and Peter Strzok and former director of FBI counterintelligence as those responsible for the plot to destroy a sitting president, but then he falls short. And it's been also critical. This report has been critical on the mainstream media and their lack of coverage and the way they actually pandered to these deep state agencies. But the sad thing is, so that was the good. And he referred to this as a public service to our country, something that the media should have done. And they didn't do. But then he goes on to criticize the Durham report. And it was so amazing. These were the exact criticisms that I was going to talk to you about. So what he says is that the report shields the responsibility of Russiagate from both the FBI director, James Comey, and FBI director, Christopher Wray, who Trump appointed. That's why I wonder about Trump, folks. Is he that stupid? Or is he that weak-willed that when his advisors force somebody upon him, he takes them, even though they're corrupt? I don't know about Trump, and I've told you that in past shows. But back to this. So then he goes on to say that the media no longer investigates and digs for the truth. They just parrot whatever the establishment says. And I agree with you there, too, Mr. Roberts. And then he notices, as the report says, McCabe and Strzok, they aren't protected as well as Comey and Wray. But the question is, and I've been asking this question for 5 years, why did it take Durham so long to establish what was crystal clear back in 2017? Folks, we knew from day one that Russiagate was a hoax. And there was even a federal judge, a member of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, who resigned over this. That was District Judge James Robertson. He resigned on the grounds that if the FBI can lie to a federal court without accountability, he doesn't want to serve as a judge in that court. And even the whore media Washington Post reported on this and his resignation. This was a long time ago, too, folks. Now, this FISA court, it tries to find out how many of the Justice Department operatives were and what they were filing with regard to these FISA reports were lies or not. And you can see that on a Fox News report. But these courts have no enforcement arm, so to speak. That's what the executive branch is for, but they're failing. They're derelict at their duty. So the fundamental question that both myself and Mr. Roberts has is, why did Durham suggest no indictments of the FBI personnel who clearly conducted treason against the sitting president of the United States. That's a high crime. A high crime of treason. Punished how? By death, folks. Yet we have all of these protesters from J6 being charged with sedition now. The leader of Oath Keepers just sentenced to 17 years in prison for sedition. And what was he doing, folks? Do you see how utterly rotten to the core our entire justice system is? So now what the mainstream media, the lying fake news has done is they've devolved the FBI's treason, which it is under the law, to an FBI embarrassment. That's America today, folks. There's zero accountability for the government. They can basically do whatever they want. They're running roughshod over we the people. There is no accountability, nor will there ever be any accountability until we the people, what's left of us, stand up and say no and exercise both our legal and lawful rights as both citizens of the United States of America and citizens of God's kingdom. We have to stand up against these tyrannical, satanic, ungodly powers, folks, that are stealing both our country and our children from us. But I could go on this, folks, but right now we have to keep moving, and it's time for our Hopium Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium.
Now, this next clip in the Hopium Report, folks, and I'm putting it in the Hopium Report because I'm hoping and I'm praying that enough people are finally waking up to the dark, occult, satanic nature of our so-called leaders in this deep state. Folks, I'm telling you, this is real, and it involves this sex magic. Well, in this next clip, we have former child star Ricky Schroeder speaking out about the satanic ritual sacrifice that's all over Hollywood. This, again, is another Reese report, and I'm telling you, Greg Reese has been on fire this last week. So let's have a listen to this Reese report and Ricky Schroeder telling us about the satanic ritual sacrifice, which is part of this sex magic. And remember, he was a child at the time. And we're going to get into this in more detail as this show winds down.
Alex Jones revealed over 20 years ago how world elites reenact human sacrifice every year at Bohemian Grove. And there have been several whistleblowers reporting that satanic ritual sacrifice is at the highest levels of our society. Ritualized murder is, after all, the ultimate expression of tyranny. And as disturbing as it is to most people, it has commonly been used as a form of blackmail. Former child actor Rick Schroeder recently released a video of a childhood experience he had in Hollywood where he believes he met members of this cult.
Let me explain. When I was young, I couldn't drive yet. I was hanging out with the older guys out on Point Doom, and somebody popped in a cassette tape into a VHS player, and there was a room with a body, I believe it was a male, laying on a table. And people came around the room. It was dimly lit, but they had hoods and robes on. And they had some sort of ritual where they took out a knife and they cut him down the side. It was his right side. And they took out parts of him, and the blood started flowing. And they were chanting. And there was women there, and they took off their clothes, and then they took the blood and they smeared it on their bodies and started to be sexual with each other. It was quite disturbing to see. And so they gave me the cassette, and I took the cassette to somebody I trusted, and I, we watched it, and they said, never watch that again and give it back to whoever gave it to you. So I did that, but I was always confused about why they didn't ask where it came from. And so I believe that I met some of the cult members when I was younger. If in fact we have no accountability or justice, it could be because these people that are supposed to bring us justice and protect and defend the Constitution are corrupted by this cult. I have no fear of them. You know, I only fear Jesus. And so perhaps whoever's investigating these folks needs to go, we need to go a layer below the top and come up from the mid-level who are not cult members, been blackmailed by the cult, possibly. Because that's the only explanation I have for why we haven't had accountability and justice for what they've done to America and continue to do to America while we all just watch. So I share this with the hope that those mid-level people that are investigating it, the FBI and the CIA, will understand that their superiors, perhaps, will never give us justice because of the level of blackmail involved. All right, that's off my chest. That feels better. Now you all know. God bless America, and God bless those trying to defeat this cult. In Jesus' name, I give you this message. Amen.
And to that, I add a big amen and a thank you, Greg Reese, for another excellent report. You know, folks, this is part of that sex magic that I was talking about. And Ricky Schroeder was a child when he witnessed this. So I'm telling you, you want to get cut right to the point? These are all Zionist Marxist Edomites, also known as Khazarian Jews.
Shazam.
That's right, Gomer. Shazam. It truly is. And their own religion, and you have to study the Kabbalah, folks. And remember when that was the big rage in Hollywood and everybody was wearing the little red string around their wrist? Kabbalah, folks, study it. Their own religion has prayers to open demonic portals and bring forth demons. I'm not making this up. It's there. And what kind of religion is that? Well, that's Satanism, folks. Read the Talmud, too. It's in there. Look at what their own writings have to say about the Gentiles, which they call goyim. And, you know, goyim is a word for cattle. And what do when we go shopping? We browse. What's browsing, folks? Just look at how Christians are treated in Israel. You know about that law that just came out that if you evangelize a person in Israel, it's actually a capital crime. And then look at how our Congress and even the president fawns over Israel. And I'm using this very cautiously, Judaism. I know I could be called an anti-Semite, but I'm not, folks. I'm referring to the Zionists who are neither Jewish or Hebrew. And I've talked about that before, too. Let's make some distinctions between politics, race, and religion. Now, try to say this with a straight face, okay? Our government is not a ceremonial proxy of the government of Israel. Just try to say that with a straight face after you look at everything that has happened in this country since the nation Israel was established through a deep state operation known as the Balfour Agreement. And you can study that, folks. I'm telling you, these are Khazarians masquerading as Jews or Hebrews. The Jewish people, as we knew it from the Bible, have been scattered. They don't exist the way they did during the Bible. In fact, before 70 AD, they were known as the Judeans and more broadly as the Hebrews. or the Israelites. And then the Khazarians came along in, what, the 8th century? They were the name stealers, folks. Some of the most vicious, ruthless people the world has ever seen. And I think they may be even offspring of the Nephilim from Genesis 6. You can't make this stuff up. If you don't believe me, read this book by this man named Philip DeVere. It was called Blood Ritual. Now, be careful. If you have a weak stomach, don't do it. But Mr. DeVere looks at 200 cases along these lines of ritualistic sacrifice, like we just heard Ricky Schroeder talk about. It's unsettling, folks. And he doesn't hide behind the names, the lame names like Khazarian and Phoenician and Edomite. He doesn't do all of that. I'm telling you, it's an intriguing look into history and these ritualistic sex magic rituals by a very nefarious and longstanding cult that goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 4, folks. It's the curse of Canaan, and it has been with us all through since the time that Cain killed Abel. But I have to keep moving. And I had this in the Hopium report because I pray that more and more people are waking up to this element of this fifth dimensional warfare known as sex magic. But right now we have to keep moving, and it's time for our Absurdian report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their...
I apologize for that, folks. I pushed the wrong button. So I'm learning the keyboard yet, and I had a toggle, and I didn't toggle. So it's time for Absurdian Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdian Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
Okay, so we were talking about some things under the Hopium report in my comments that could be viewed by many people who are, and I use this word properly here, ignorant. That means you lack understanding or knowledge. Doesn't mean you're stupid. There's a difference between being stupid and ignorant. So I could be labeled anti-Semitic for what I said in the last segment, but believe me, folks, and if you know me, you know I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm talking about the Edomites. I'm talking about the Khazarians. I'm talking about the Zionists. I'm talking about the people who murdered tens of millions of people in the Bolshevik Revolution. I'm talking about deep, dark people that can trace their lineage all the way back to Cain, who slew his brother Abel. That's who I'm talking about, folks. Now, this came out from Gregory Hood on May 22nd. And he asks, when is it anti-Semitic? And he's focusing on George Soros in particular. You know, one of the most powerful and corrupt people alive today. Forbes magazine estimates that Soros is worth $6.7 billion. That's more than the GDP of some countries, folks. And by the way, he just announced, I think last week, that he's still alive. He's the man who broke the Bank of England, like I told you. He shorted the pound and forced the British government to withdraw from the European exchange rate mechanism back in 1992. That should be criminal, folks. That's how he made his wealth. You know, he is technically a currency speculator. Isn't that why Nixon took us off the gold standard in 1972? But George Soros is lauded as this man for democracy, as this great man by the lamestream media and all the liberals. But it's really sick to see that when you see the mainstream media and even these civil rights groups rising to his defense, considering what he does as he rapes the wealth of these nations. And then just last week, Elon Musk criticized Mr. Soros for funding liberal prosecutors who are soft on crime, that whole thing with the Braggs case and Trump and then the release of all these murders that are then re-murdering people in New York? That's corruption, folks. So Mr. Musk compared George Soros to a Marvel comic supervillain, a villain known as Magneto. And in one of his following tweets, he declared Mr. Soros to hate humanity. Then a couple days later, he followed up with that funny, it's really unfair to Magneto. So meanwhile, the establishment defenders step up. And Jonathan Greenblatt of the Anti-Defamation League tweets in response, Soros often is held up by the far right using anti-Semitic tropes as the source of the world's problems. You see how this is all being staged? This is all starting to shape around the fact that poor Mr. Soros has, who's a Jew. Now, what is a Jew again, folks? Is it a political movement? Is it a religious movement? Or does it have to do with your ethnicity? See, we take these words and we blur the lexicon, and then we don't even know what's being used as these terms are thrown about by the media. So now they're starting to protect George Soros. Actually, could care less about a Jew or an African or a Chinese. He could care less about you. He's all about his greedy plan to enslave the world. That's what it's all about, folks. So here is this this media lapdog coming, and he's not the only one. There are others. And even the Jews, folks, they're out there defending him. This is insane. This is truly insane. But this is how gullible people are, and I think it's why Jesus referred to us as sheep, because sheep are stubborn, stupid, and selfish, aren't they? Anyways, this is being twisted by people like Amy Wax and Darren Beatty and Stephen Miller and so many others, attacking people who challenge George Soros as being anti-Semitic. Positions so bigoted, folks. More bigoted than anything Elon Musk has ever said. And I can go on and on and on about this, but right now I have to keep moving, and it's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K. Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started. Okay, folks, today what I'd like to do is talk about economics and industry in particular. Now, all of you out there who have heard my SDG messages for the past 10 or 11 years, you know, pre-scamdemic, you know that I believe that the only way to create true wealth is how? To apply labor to substance. And I first had that realization when I was reading the Bible and the story in the Old Testament about King Solomon bringing the cedars of Lebanon together with the laborers and the refiners, I forget the man's name, who cast the various vessels for the temple. And it struck me right there. The wealth of Solomon was achieved through the application of labor and substance. And that's how all true wealth is created. And that includes primarily three activities. Either you've got to grow it, you've got to dig it out of the ground, or you've got to put it together. And it's really that simple, folks. There's really no other ways to do it. There isn't. You have to do one of those three things, or all you're doing is passing money from hand to hand. So in a sense, and in summary, we have agriculture, mining, or manufacturing. Now, of course, that's very broad. For example, under agriculture, you can apply that to timber and fishing. And it's sometimes you're not even growing what you're harvesting. In the case of fisheries out in the ocean and the timbering of certain forests, although sometimes you may. And then under mining, there's also oil and gas and all the related activities such as dredging or even panning for gold in the Yukon. And then finally, with respect to manufacturing, that also includes things like food and feed processing, oil and ore refining, along with purely cottage industries like craft weaving or better yet, knitting and crochet. Anytime you take something and apply labor to it. The point is that that's the only way to create wealth. we have to apply the sweat of our brow, also known as our labor, together with a substance in order to create true wealth. And that's the only way you're going to do it, folks. So those that use terms like the service economy or the sports industry, they're being disingenuous. All you're doing there is taking money and taking it from one pocket and putting it into another. So outside of activities that I outlined above, all you're doing is merely passing money from one hand to another. Especially when I hear people talk about the wealth created in the financial sector. Give me a break. I'd buzz that over and over and over again. That banking industry does nothing but rob we the people of the sweat of our brow, which is our wealth. That's not an industry. And that's what the Lord put on my heart to talk to you about today, what industry is, okay, and what industry isn't. So now we've talked about the industry with regard to the capital portion of the labor and substance argument, but let's look at what industry means with regard to labor. Folks, did you know that industry applies to labor?
Really?
That's right, Alvin, really. Hard work. That's another meaning of this term, industry. So not only is it the material and the equipment needed to process that material with the labor applied to that activity, that's industry, but industry is also hard work. So a crucial element that's necessary for this wealth creation to succeed is a willing capital market, willing to come together with a willing labor market to create this broader sense of the term industry. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28 says, let him that steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now, this is an excellent verse to understand the practical details of hard work. You know, this comes from, I think about when I grew up, folks, my dad, my grandpa, my mom, they taught me what hard work is. Yet I don't think that's actually happening today. So you have to take hard work and couple it with integrity. And then there has to be a generosity too. And when you stop and think about it, that just about sums up the eighth commandment. What God says in Exodus 20, verse 15, thou shalt not steal, but then that's not being taught in the schools anymore. So stealing is a lot more than just taking something like a pencil or a dollar out of your mom's purse. There's a lot more to it. And not teaching it to our youth is all by design. So today I just want to wrap this up by focusing a little bit on this concept of hard work being an element to industry. In fact, you know what? I'm looking at the clock, and I think I'm going to have to pick this up next week. So we'll pick this up right here next week. I'm just going to take my notes and say next week, because I'm looking. I got bullet points here that I kind of build these shows from. I've got 3 pages of bullet points on this, and I simply don't have time to cover all this today because I'm looking at the clock, and we're down to 20 minutes, and we've got a lot to cover under Back to the Future and a ton to cover under the conclusion to the show, and I think we're going to have to push off some of this other stuff too. So right now, let's keep moving, and let's get started with Back to the Future. Back to the Future, the segment where we take something from the past and bring it back to the future. And this week, folks, we're going to wind that clock way back, way back. Let's take it back to 700 to 800 BC. So 700 to 800 years before Jesus Christ walked on the dusty shores of the Galilee. So picture that in your mind. And I'd like to take you to Isaiah chapter 34, verse 14. And I'm going to use the Amplified version, and I'm going to read that scripture to you. The creatures of the desert will encounter jackals, and the hairy goat will call to its kind. Indeed, Lilith, parentheses, the night demon, will settle there and find herself a place to rest. So what I'd like to do today is talk about Lilith and tie her to this occult practice, which is an element of the fifth generation warfare, and it's known as sex magic. So I want to wind the clock back even further than this scripture written in Isaiah chapter 34, verse 14. And before we do, though, I want to just cite something out of Eliot's commentary for English readers. So this was a commentator who wrote concerning this verse, and he said, "The wild beasts of the desert, better known as wild cats or hyenas, shall meet wolves. The nouns that follow belong apparently to the region of mythical zoology. The English Sartor expresses fairly enough the idea of a demon brute haunting the waste places of the palaces of Edom, where the screech owl is the Lilith, the she vampire who appears in the legends of the Talmud as even having been Adam's first wife, who left him and was turned into a demon." And get this, here's the next part, folks, and this is where the sex magic and the ritual sacrifice and what Ricky Schroeder was talking about. With the later Jews, Lilith, as sucking the blood of children, was the bugbear of the nursery. Night vampire would perhaps be the best rendering. Folks, that was in Eliot's commentary for English readers. So I didn't get this out of occultworld.com, where you can even get more detail. This was in a pulpit commentary. And there was another one with similar descriptions. So it's fairly well established in God's holy writ that there's this character known as Lilith. Now, we can go back even further, and you can see that Lilith is a major figure in Jewish demonology. And like I read from the commentary, the first wife of Adam. But here's where I want to go with this today. Lilith, or being similar to her, like Isis, have been found in myths from other cultures all around the world. And I'm telling you, this goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 4, where brother Cain killed brother Abel and was cursed and cast upon the earth. And then later in that chapter and into 5, we see all the baddies. And that becomes the Canaanites. And that's the curse of Canaan that Eustace Mullen talks about. And folks, I'm telling you, it's all there. So you can see this similar theme through Jewish folklore. You can see it in Babylonian, Sumerian, Canaanite, Persian, Arabic, Teutonic, Mexican, Greek, English, Asian, and even Native American legends. There's this Lilith or Isis character. And she's sometimes associated with characters both in legend and myth. Associated with the Queen of Sheba, the Jezebel spirit, Helen of Troy. In medieval Europe, she was often portrayed as a wife, a concubine, or even the grandmother of Satan. So Lilith appears in all these different guises and in various texts. And I'm telling you, this is the foundation for sex magic. So if you go over, and there's a really good article in encyclopedia.com, you can see that this tradition goes way back, way back. There's Pascal Beverly Randolph was this physician who specialized in marital problems. And a lot of this stuff is being picked up in the 1800s, in the 19th century, you know. And it was known as ceremonial magic. And he led a full-blown sex magic movement known as OTO, or the Ordo Templi Orientis. And that was founded in the 1890s. But I'm telling you, it goes back further than that, folks. This goes way back. It goes back into the Hindu traditions and some of the other ones I just mentioned, but it was revitalized in the 19th century. So you have people like Aleister Crowley and John Dee and Edward Kelly and Victor Newberg. These are all the names, and there's books you can read on this, and my shelves are full of this stuff. I've had them for 30 years. And Terry says, people see these books, they're going to think you're some kind of crazy guy. And I said, Terry, you have to study your enemy to know the ways and the wiles of your enemy. There's this book of lies out by Theodore Roos. That's a good one to read. And don't forget the book of all books in terms of this stuff. And it's the one that was put out by Albert Pike, Morals and Dogma. So there were these sex magic groups that were formed in the 19th century. it moved into the 20th century around World War II, all these sex magic groups. Now today, you see their practices being deployed by these groups like LGBTQ, by all these other movements, and it's all part of a plan. It's all part of a plan to enslave and ensnare. Remember how Satan works, folks. What Satan does is Satan takes something good that God created and he corrupts it. God created everything. God created gold and silver, which was the first legal and lawful money. God created sex in the marriage bed. And then Satan takes these things and corrupts it. In the case of money, he comes in with this usury fiat money system. In the case of sex, he comes in with all this sex magic and these perversions that we read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And all of these things are designed and intended to enslave us and ensnare us. And that's exactly what it's doing. So how do we apply this to today's freaky deaky news? Well, everybody's hearing about this backlash for Anheuser-Busch and the Bud Light movement with that crazy, I don't even know what he technically is. He's a guy, but he masquerades as a girl, but he still has his male sex organs and he still has to shave and all that fun stuff. So whatever that Malkovany guy is, now Target's in on this whole Pride movement. They launched the Pride collection beginning in May. They had over 2,000 products from books and clothing and home furnitures and even stuff for young children. They had a book intended for the 2 through 8 year olds called Pride 1, 2, 3, and another one called Bye Bye Binary, and a third one called I'm Not a Girl. And they also suggested this book for very young children, newborns to age 3, called The Pronoun Book. Isn't that special? And they also had gender fluid mugs and transgender swimsuits for adults with a quote unquote tuck friendly feature. Folks, this is sick. They even had some designed by this satanistic designer known as Ebrelin. He identifies as a transgender man and a practicing Satanist. Folks, a Satanist is designing things for Target. Well, the American people, we the people, stood up. There was a backlash, okay? Oh, and just one thing. This is some of the message that this outspoken Ebrelin pushes on some of his products. Satan respects pronouns. Well, of course he does, because it's part of sex magic. And there's another one that he has on T-shirts and other items of his, what do you call it, merchandise. Burn down the cistern. Cistern, get it? So the company Target is all in on this woke movement. And since we the people have stood up in this short, well, in this short period, yes, 3-4 weeks, Target shares have fallen 11%. Isn't that great, folks? Can anyone say Anheuser-Busch and Bud Light, which continues to tank? So we do have power, folks. We do have power in our pocketbooks. We do have power with our purses, and we need to start to use it. And then get this, in May 24th, press release, Target announces removing some of the controversial items. But listen to the reason why. Since introducing this year's collection, we've experienced threats impacting our team members' sense of safety and well-being while at work. Given these volatile circumstances, we're making adjustments to our plans, including removing items that have been in the center of the most significant controversial or confrontational behavior. I love what Liz Wheeler said over at the Liz Wheeler Show. She has a video podcast similar to what I'd like to start doing. She called out Target for not apologizing for promoting gay pride agenda, especially for minors. This is insane, folks. And then listen to how the Democratic governor of California, Gavin Newsom, lashed out at what Target did. He didn't bash Target for selling the products. No, he bashed them for selling out the LGBTQ plus community to extremists. Hey, folks, that's you and me. You know we're extremists now because we believe in the truth. That makes you an extremist. You know, this is all part of the satanic sex magic, and more particular, the satanic transgenderism. It's the latest phase of this wider effort, this unconventional fifth-generational warfare. And the way it works is it breaks down distinctions between humans, and in this case, sexes. Now, it's a secret and subversive satanic movement, this sex magic. And it's intended to cut God off from humanity, or I should say humanity off from God. Think about it. Profound distinction in any culture, in any civilization, is the distinction between a man and a woman. And today, what are we doing? We're blurring that from sports to gender to any other way that we distinguish a man from a woman. So we're different. We're complementary. And I think a lot of this started with this equality movement that blurred the lines between true equality and then the distinctions between being different but complementary. So this is a satanic transgender effort, and it's wrecking the lives of so many all around the country. And it's leading to all sorts of misery, folks. It truly is, as thousands of families see their children being groomed by these transgender activists on TikTok, in school, on YouTube videos. Remember, we played some of those YouTube videos when we were covering Mr. Rogers. Do you remember? Think about it, folks. It's coming from them. And the mainstream media is in on it, our big social media groups, our big businesses, and now our schools, and even people in the woke medical and religious professions. Notice I said religious. I'm not talking about true creatures of God, true believers of God. I'm not talking about people that walk in the power and agency of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about religious people. It's been corrupted everywhere, folks. And it's making us true believers who rightly know that Homo sapiens is a sexually dimorphic species. Yes, we're sexually dimorphic. That means there's male and there's female. And our sex is immutable. You can play games with gender, but your sex remains your sex. It's all about DNA. It's all about science. But they're blurring these lines. These Luciferians demand not only our sympathy and our support, but now they want us to affirm this as the truth. They want us to affirm their lie, their perversion, as ordinary and normal. And it's not. The lie of the transgender movement has one basic tenet, and that is that a person can change their sex. And that's a lie, folks. That's a big lie. That's right. It's a big lie. It really is. You cannot change your sex, just like you cannot change the color of your eyes. Yeah, you can put a contact lens over your eye, and you can take a blue eye to a brown eye, but your eye's still blue. You can tuck with one of those swimsuits and pretend you're a woman, but you're still a man with your sexual organs tucked in that special swimsuit. You see my point? So this one tenet that is flawed, their tenet that a person can change their sex, makes the entire movement untrue. So how can we affirm that if we stand on the rock of truth? How can we adhere to their own system of false beliefs when we stand on the rock of truth? I mean, when you start to think about this whole gender fluidity scheme, it's sad, but it's the reality that we're witnessing right now. And it's sad. A lot of these transgenders are victims that have been manipulated. They're pawns in this cosmic war between good and evil. They're being used by Satan's activists. They're pawns in a far bigger game, folks. Even these activists are. So the people that are pushing for the New World Order and the Great Reset, you know, these politicians, the people that Klaus Schwab says have been through his young global leader school, they're pawns for Satan and his plan to wage his cosmic war against God. And praise the Lord, we know how that ends in Revelation. Jesus is going to speak, and they're going to fall down dead. So this movement is all about power and reach, and it's achieved now by lobbying and infiltration of all of our core social systems and institutions. I'm talking from schools to churches and everything else in between. Now, at first glance, everything I'm telling you might appear astounding, but this is how secret societies and subversive movements work. Remember we covered that with Nesta Webster And didn't she have a tie to this very slippery term, Jewish? I'm telling you, it all ties to sex magic. And this goes all the way back, like I keep saying, to Cain. But it's so confusing when we try to just focus on one point, whether it's transgenderism or the money system or entertainment. It's too complicated when you do that. You have to see how this all fits together. And it can all fall under this broad term wokeness. But the goal of all of this is the destruction of Western civilization and Christianity. And ultimately what they want to do is create the new world order after their great reset and the destruction of about 90% of the world's population. And how are they going to do this, folks? Well, they're going to do this with all the things we're seeing, from these death jabs, these bioweapons, to the corruption of our food supply, to the collapse of our money system, to the corruption of our sexuality. And then what are we going to have? We're going to have about 500 million willing serfs who own nothing and are happy. And then they're going to seat their Messiah, little M, also known as the Antichrist. Remember, anti means in place of and against. So they're going to laud him as the true Messiah, and he's going to bring peace. But I'm telling you, they're using sex magic, just like Balaam did, as we're told by Jesus in Revelation chapter 2, verse 14, where he said, and he was talking to St. John, "But I have a few things against thee," referring to the churches, "because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication." And that's what they're using today. That's the sex magic I'm talking about, folks. Same thing that Delilah used to trick Samson into disclosing the source of his strength, you know, his hair. So when he was sleeping, after some sex magic, she cut his hair, stealing his strength, and then calling the Philistines in to overpower him and ultimately enslave him. And that's the very same thing that Potiphar tried to use on Joseph. But praise the Lord, he overcame her, and he escaped. Now, folks, I'm looking at the clock, and it's sad, but I'm literally out of time. I'd like to cover this more and tie it into some of the commands that Moses brought down from Mount Sinai on the tablets, you know, the Ten Commandments. And I think what we could do is maybe spend a few minutes outlining what we could cover next week. So we're going to have to go back and circle around and cover some of this in more detail. So let's just do that. Now, this term, "thou shalt not commit adultery," is basically found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. And it isn't a suggestion, folks. It's not just a good thing to do. It's a commandment. And when a commandment or a law is broken, there's dire consequences. You literally reap what you sow. So what I'd like to do next week is expand what is really truly meant by the seventh commandment and how it's being used by the establishment, by the elites, by the deep state, to essentially enslave us. So we're going to talk about teaching, and we're going to talk about warning, and then I'd like to move on and talk, I'm just looking at my highlights here, talk about how adultery and sexual sin in general is a sin against the home, it's a sin against the church, it's a sin against the nation. And I'm telling you, this is all true and it's all real. And I want to tie in some of the sex magic to this, folks. But most importantly, it's a sin against God. It corrupts our relationship with God. It puts the lamp out, so to speak. And remember, Proverbs tells us that our spirit is the lamp of the Lord. So when you put oil, when you put the Holy Spirit in your lamp, like the 10 virgins did, and keep your wicks trimmed, and then fill your body, the vessels, with extra oil, guess what? Your lamp is lit. God's lamp is lit, and it gives light to your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And then you know what to tell and how to tell your body to act and respond to circumstances. So not only must we teach, we've got to show by example. And there's a couple elements to that. It's a decision, folks. It truly is a decision, and it involves dependence, and it involves a devotion to God. And then we have to allow that to develop in our lives. And then we have to walk with a discipline and then a determination. And you can make up your mind right now. You don't have to wait till next week. I will cover this in more detail, but I've made my mind up. I've put my hands up in the air, and I've surrendered for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want to sound arrogant about that. I'm just simply saying that my heart is fixed on the Lord, trusting in thee, as the psalmist wrote in Psalm 112, verse 7, I believe it is. Bottom line, I've decided to follow Jesus. So please, don't wait till next week when I provide the entire argument. If you see the craziness in the world right now, but you want to have a peace that goes beyond all understanding, make that one big decision today that'll help you make all the little ones without even thinking. Make your decision to stand on the rock. Just say, like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So put your hands up in the air and just say, forsaking all, I trust him. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Messiah that the true Hebrews are looking for. And the true Messiah that the Edomites hid from most of them when Jesus did come for the first time. Just realize that you can have victory in Jesus. And all you have to do, folks, is stand up and say no. Say no to all this evil wickedness that's all over the world right now. Just say no to it. And until next week, folks, continue standing. And in the words of Winston Churchill, never give in. No, never. No, never.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And remember, folks, that same power that rose Jesus from the grave, that same power will indwell in you if you put your hands up in the air and say, forsaking all, I trust him. That's Jesus. So let's lift our hands up with Jeremy Camp and just worship God. And remember, that same power can live in you and anyone else out there who says, I forsake all and trust Jesus. I love you all, folks, and I'll be back next week, provided the Lord's willing, and I'm still here.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, to show a world that looks like there is no hope that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace, to stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word.
The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commanded death to wait, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when we speak, the same power that can call the raging sea, lives in us.
We all cry out for change in our world, but many times we are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11, it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power must proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus.
Power, power of Jesus.